This is Your Life, God's Truth, your QFM. It's Phil here in the Bemidji studio. I've been looking forward to this interview for a week or more when I knew that Kimberly was going to come. And I'm almost nervous because it's just so amazing. I mean, I've done so many interviews, but Kimberly Nyberg is here with me, and she wrote a book. And she's got a background in radio as well, Christian radio. And you guys are going to be absolutely blessed by what Kimberly is going to share today. So, Kimberly, welcome to you. How are you?
I am really just doing fine, Phil, and I'm blessed to be here. So thank you so much.
Well, it's good to have you. And, you know, we hadn't really met much. I mean, you stopped in a couple of months ago.
Right.
Dropped off your book and said, hey, it'd be fun to do an interview sometime. But come to find out that you just recently retired from the International Falls Christian radio station.
I did a year ago in July. July 1st was my last day of 22. So, yeah, really different, and I've really miss it. 32 years plus 5 months.
That's amazing. And we're going to talk a lot about the years prior to that, because those years are about as crazy as you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. But then the years there and what God has been doing in your life have been absolutely amazing, to the point where you actually wrote this book. And the book is called Giving God Your Yes. Giving Amen. God Your Yes. Did it take you a long time to come up with that, or did you have the title before you even wrote the book?
God gave me that title the spring before I started writing. So I had called it something else. I'd called it something like From Peace to the Prince of Peace or something like that.
Sure.
And he changed it on me. So it's like when God wants to do something, he does it.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's awesome. So you still live up in the International Falls area?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Happy to be there.
And come down here every once in a while. But you're sure not from that area.
No.
You were born in Connecticut, and then your first 10 years of life in Ohio, right?
Columbus, Ohio. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you're going to, listeners, as you listen to Kimberly speak here, you're going to see she was on this crazy ride. First of all, you didn't really know your father, right?
Nope, I did not.
Did you ever really meet him? You know, I read the book. I couldn't put this book down, you guys. I read it a couple weekends ago, and, you know, I thought, wow, okay, I promised Kimberly I'd read it, so here we go. And it was like, whoa. It was amazing. I read it in one weekend. Mm. So it'll be fun as we get into it. But again, you know, it started out rough for you.
Well, my father was active for probably my first year.
Yeah.
As we moved from Hartford, Connecticut, back to my mom's hometown, just outside of Columbus, Ohio. So, but when they, and I think the move was precipitated to try and help them work things out. He was a very unstable man.
Yeah.
And my mom wasn't the stablest woman either. So she kind of, I have noticed that we were both on this little journey to find the father's love, just looking in the wrong places.
Yeah. She liked music, I know. Talking the 60s here, because you were born in 54.
I was.
54.
You're telling my age.
Well, yo,
that's
sorry.
Okay. It's okay.
Well, because it's important to the story, because, you know, a lot of us, well, I was born in 60. And so I don't remember a lot about the 60s except learning how to ride a bicycle on a street in my tiny little hometown. You know, and I remember seeing the Kennedy funeral on the TV when I was three or whatever it was. But the 60s was this crazy time. And you kind of got caught up in it, didn't you?
Oh, I sure did. I surely did. And I was going to school in New York City after we moved there when President Kennedy was killed.
Wow.
I mentioned that in the book somewhere,
Yes, you did.
So, yeah, it was a wild time. Wild.
Yeah. Well, you did move to New York City, as, like you said, when you're about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom met a music man because she loved music. It was a black fella, and he was an awesome musician, professional musician, right?
Drummer, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, you're living in a high-rise in New York City.
Crazy.
Yikes. You know?
It was really different.
Yeah. And you did not know the Lord. There was very, very little introduction to Christianity. It sounds like you went to church a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it.
That was about it. Maybe a couple of Sunday school, you know, events at some point in time. But I don't remember a thing. Never did.
Yeah. Just you look back at it, and a little child, maybe, and then a young teenager who just didn't know anything about Jesus. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Well, then really getting into music, this thing called Woodstock came up, which obviously wasn't real far from New York City. How in the world did you decide to go be a part of Woodstock? Because you weren't very old.
No, I wasn't. I was 15 when I went. I had just turned 15 in June. So I had gotten myself involved in a lot of things that I wished I'd never gotten involved in, and drugs was a big part of it. And so as I saw, it's almost like I had two people. I had this person who somehow had some common sense, sort of, but then this one who was just off the wall. But just did some things that were insane and crazy and allowed myself to go with the crowd. But I've had an overdose on heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I was chumming with, that was one of their drugs of choice, along with all the other stuff, the pot and everything else that goes along with it.
Right.
And so inside of me, I use the word intrinsically, I really believed that if I didn't get out of New York City, I probably wasn't going to live much longer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I couldn't convince my mom of that, of course, but that prompted the runaway.
Yeah, yeah.
So a girlfriend, she was like a big sister to me, and she was concerned for me.
Okay.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So she helped me, and we both ended up taking a bus ride up to Bethel, New York, where the big 500,000 people festival took place.
Yeah.
And it was wild.
In the mud.
In the mud. You caught that.
Well, I did, because you said to this day, you do not like mud.
I don't. Our springs, woohoo.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, you mentioned that despite the wildness in your life, you had common sense. And I think I know why. Because as I was reading the book, and you even say this, you had this weird childhood where you didn't hang out with other kids.
Mm-mm.
You were always with adults.
I was.
Especially your grandma and things like that. And so, you know, you kind of had this adult influence in your life. So in some ways, I think you probably matured quicker, but yet there was still no direction.
True.
You know, you were still...
True.
Whatever way the wind blows, but you weren't like a four-year-old, you know. You were ahead of your time to a certain extent, you know.
Well, that's
my thoughts.
That's an interesting point. I will ponder that, Phil. Thank you.
Okay. I got you all figured out. Read the book once. Well, anyway, Woodstock, wow. You were there, it sounds like, even to help set up and tear down. Mm-hmm. And then you connected with a little bit larger group of, you know, the hippie-type crowd, and off you went, huh?
The hog farmers. You probably wondered, you know, how often you see it, one of those old VW Beetle buses all painted up. Well, that's where they came from. They were out in California, and they'd bought a piece of property up in northern New Mexico. But they had actually been hired to come out to Woodstock to work, especially with the cleanup. You know, the guys did some setup and whatnot, and there were the drug tents and soup kitchens and different things like that that they were to help with.
Wow.
Probably not so much the drug tents, but definitely the soup kitchen and definitely the cleanup afterwards.
Yeah.
So we got involved with them, my girlfriend and I, and what that did is it just opened up a door for us to be able to, although they had asked her to come back to New Mexico when they left.
Okay. Yeah.
And she said, well, I can't go unless she can go.
Wow.
She didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate she didn't leave me hanging, because I don't know what I would have done.
But off you went.
The craziest plane flight I ever flew.
Yeah, sounded like it. And your mom had no clue.
No, my poor mom was always like 10 steps behind me.
And there wasn't cell phones at the time.
There sure were.
So you didn't even talk to your mom much, did you?
I didn't talk to my mom for 3.5 years.
Wow. She had no clue where you were.
No, she would speculate, but by the time I went to Woodstock and left, she didn't have a clue.
Yeah. And you ended up, like you say, Santa Fe, New Mexico area, and you were there for a while, and things just kind of kept unraveling. You ended up having a child, right?
Not down there, but I got pregnant down there.
That's right.
And yeah, and then I was just hit with the biggest form of rejection that you can imagine. And I thought about this quote, because I think it's really, this quote on rejection just calmed my, you know, my soul about it. By Soshi quoted, "Rejection is not someone wanting you out of their life. Rejection is someone that God wanted out of your future." And I thought, oh, wow. That's why it's used in one of my chapter headings there. Yes. So I just thought, that is so good. If we realize that God is, you know, in control of our life, things like that are going to happen.
Yeah. And
he
thank
knows.
God it did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine you now knowing Jesus like you do, sold out to him, to look back at your life and you can say, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. Wow.
You got it.
Your protection here, your protection there. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Well, yeah, I mean, the whole drug, sex, rock and roll, that was, you lived that, didn't you?
Make love, not war. That was the motto.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
It was.
Yeah.
You knew you didn't want to raise a child in that situation, of course, so you started to move. And was it Colorado? Wasn't that a stop? Am I remembering that right?
Oh, a friend of mine, we decided we were going to try to go up to Colorado and get a job at the Coors Ranch helping to
cook. Yeah. That's right. Why not?
They were not interested in a couple of hippie girls. So.
Okay.
But we tried. It was leaving New Mexico really was about getting as much distance as possible between the guy that rejected me.
Yeah, from that fellow, yeah.
And because I think that's what we do. You know, when we have pain, we flee, you know, from it. That's our typical reaction.
You're still a teenager at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 16.
Hmm. And at some point, there started to be some chatter about northern Minnesota.
There did.
And what, like, on earth?
I mean, cell phones back then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But a guy said that, hey, there's a commune up in northern Minnesota. And I mean, I barely even knew where Minnesota was.
Yes.
You know,
oh,
and then
yeah.
to tell me northern Minnesota. So it was very different.
Yeah.
But I said, sure, let's go.
Did the cold weather didn't register with you? Do you remember that at all? Thinking, wait a minute now. I think they have that thing called snow up there.
It didn't at the time because I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just needed to get far, far away.
I had no idea there was hippie communes in northern Minnesota. No, I don't think I knew that. I mean, how extensive was that up in northern Minnesota?
Yeah, 70 miles from the border, south of the border.
Like a lot of people? Up there?
A lot, you know, not a lot, but you know, they weren't the only ones. There were also, I think, like religious type communes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, down probably like to the south, maybe east of even Bemidji here. I can't remember the distance quite so well, but so, I mean, they're there. This was not religious at all.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that. It was just a place where people gathered. And there were some good couples there that I was really thankful for. The gal that I came up with, she got involved with a guy. I got involved with a guy. Had my baby, the first baby born there.
Okay. That was up in northern Minnesota.
It was.
Where you had your first child.
Right on the farm.
Okay. Well, there you go. And, you know, you mentioned religious communes. Now that you bring that up, I know near Bemidji there was
there you go.
A fellow named Art. And, you know, I don't know if they would exactly call it a commune, but it was a place where a lot of people lived.
Right.
And probably a little more on the Pentecostal side and worshiping Jesus and all that. Kind of the Jesus Revolution.
There
did you see
go.
That movie?
You bet I did. It was
I
great.
I bet that was interesting
oh,
for
my,
you.
It was. It was so cool. Yeah.
Yes.
Really appreciated it.
It was your people.
It was. Just not on the West Coast.
Yeah. You never really did go to California much at all, right?
No, one shot deal when the guy was with my little guy. I just realized that the type of commune we were in, you know, welcomed in people and a lot of things that I didn't think a little one. I mean, he wasn't even a toddler yet. He was a baby. And I just didn't, it was too hard. The work was too hard. It was just, I guess the mother arose in me that, you know, I didn't know existed and she needed to protect her son.
Yeah.
And so we ended up going out to California and living with his parents for a brief period of time.
Okay. All right. Well, you're now in northern Minnesota and carving out a life. I know there was some real negative things that happened with a fellow that you had a child with as well. I don't know how much of that you share. It's in your book.
It's in the book.
That you actually did have an abortion. He really pushed you on that, though.
He did.
Isn't that it?
And I just want to say that, you know, I'm certainly thankful for the two children that I have and the baby in heaven that I have because of our relationship. But it was hard. I there's a lot of guys in that area that are hard living, hard loving, hard partying guys, and he was one of them. And so did the best we could, and at a point in time, it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, God had other plans.
There was
another fellow that kind of took you in. How do you describe that? And he's your current husband. How did that happen?
37 years.
Yeah.
We were married in October, 37 years. So, he's a kind man. He's got a kind heart. And I think he saw a hurting woman who needed some help.
Young woman,
three crazy kids, undisciplined. And I think he just felt like he could help me. I think that's how simple it was. And so we got involved and lived together for a few years. And eventually, that's when the change came.
That's when the change came. Exactly right. And I love this because it ties into Christian radio, doesn't it?
Christian radio, Christian television. Yes, yes, and yes.
You started listening to the station up there and going, huh.
You know, it's interesting because even though in a situation where I had a solid footing at where we lived and
some stability,
he was a good hard worker, never gone on his own, came home from work and was with us, etc. We were working on our little tiny piece of property, and but I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this, Phil, that for anyone who has a pile worth of baggage that they've been carrying around for years, which I did, you're not going to be happy until you begin to unload that baggage.
It's like Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah. So for me, I couldn't understand, why am I not happy? Why? Why can't I be happy here?
Yeah.
And so the girls that I had started getting involved with were church girls. And I started going to one church.
Amen.
He wouldn't go, and I didn't understand that at the time, but that's okay. I still went because I felt it was good for the kids. But it got me reading the Bible, even though it didn't quite make sense to me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But then I thought, conniving, you know how women sometimes connive?
No.
Maybe if I go to the church that he was raised in, maybe he would come.
Oh, so he was raised in a church, yeah?
He was.
Okay.
And one day, we were getting ready for church, and I said, it just doesn't seem fair that you stay home, we go off to church, and you stay home and sit in your recliner. The man got up, changed his clothes, and came with us.
You have that in the book. I remember you writing about that. Yeah, it was awesome.
So it was kind of funny how that all happened. But long and short of it, we started going to church. I'm sure he was feeling the conviction of being with people he knew. They welcomed him in. They welcomed me in.
Awesome.
And it's just kind of neat how pastor's wife came out to talk to me and she said, I think you and Jerry need to get married.
Yes.
And it just began to happen. But I have to share my redemption story.
Okay.
So the part of the redemption came when I started, these girlfriends were telling me different places I could listen and watch. My story about finding out they were building a radio station right up the road really piqued my curiosity. And as soon as that went on, I started listening.
Yeah.
Programs like Focus on the Family, boy, did they minister to this wayward girl.
Yes, and helping to raise your kids and everything, marriage.
And they had all the fun kids programming.
Yes,
you know?
Odyssey.
Well, then I started watching the 700 Club.
Ah.
And they showed a testimony clip. And on that clip was a couple who were just reminded me of myself in so many ways. Mm. And so then I took the plunge when Pat Robertson says, well, if you've been in a place where these people are and don't know how to get out, and I just kept thinking, well, if God can do it for them, surely he can do it for me.
Amen.
So I reached out my hand and I prayed right along with Pat Robertson and boom.
Wow.
Into the kingdom she goes.
That's awesome.
Oh.
Whew.
I know. But the radio station, that was also just an amazing place to grow. And wasn't too long before I started volunteering.
Yeah.
And that's how I started getting involved. And just,
helping with pledge drives and
things like that.
And then they said, hey, how about you come on in the studio? And all of a sudden, you're doing a radio show, right?
Well, that wasn't right away.
Okay.
Yeah, the old days, you recorded everything. You changed big reels.
Oh, I remember that.
You do. You should.
For me, it's 42 years ago. I remember the big reels, too, sure.
Yeah, see, okay, Psalm just celebrated its 41st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, I started in secular radio, and QFM is 30 years. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, my first secular radio jobs, the big reel-to-reels and all.
Yes. So you're basically babysitting.
Yeah, that's right.
I was scared to death to get involved with it for fear I'd make a mistake, but I did. I made a few mistakes. But but as time progressed, I started being on the air more and more and got to really enjoy when I finally got to a place in 2004, I think it was, where they decided to put me on because I have such a great radio voice.
Yes, well, hey, you do. I wish I would have heard your show because I don't think I ever did. It's bugging me now. I wish I would have.
I just loved hosting music because, you know, it became a place for me to minister to people.
Oh, for sure.
And that's the way I always perceived it, and that's what I really missed when I quit. But God opens other doors.
Now you're doing the book tour.
I'm doing the book tour, and I have a Facebook Live, and so I still get to use my voice and be an encouragement because I feel like I have that gift of encouragement. So
some of our listeners might be saying, especially the ladies, I think I have heard about this before. You were certainly doing a lot of speaking in the area, right? And I think some may have known you as Kimberly Dawn. Did you use that name for a while?
Dawn was my alias when I ran away.
Okay.
So when I came here, no one knew Kimberly.
Yeah, yeah.
Kimberly came out, that's an interesting story, because my mom began, after we reconciled, my mom began coming out to our property where we put a trailer out next to our house for her to live in.
That's so cool in the book, how you and your mom get back together. And she comes to live with you for last few years of her life. It's really sweet.
She did, but one of the things I was very troubled by her heart not knowing Christ.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of history in our family, for sure, and she is not unfamiliar with church. So I just said, Lord, I just remember praying, give me something I can do to bless my mom. What does he download into me? He says, go back to the name she gave you.
Hmm.
Whenever I would introduce her to somebody, she'd always say, and her name's not Dawn.
Yeah, it's Kimberly.
It's Kimberly.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I started thinking about that and went to work and said, hey, guys, what do you think? Would you mind if I change my name? And I can go Kimberly Dawn. That way people wouldn't know what somebody, you know, they wouldn't think there's somebody different.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how that changed. That was kind of fun.
Oh, that's I love that.
Yeah.
So that's not really your middle name either.
It isn't. We don't have middle names in our family.
Okay.
My sister either.
Yeah. By the way, she mentioned history. You traced your family lineage all the way back to Peregrine White with the Quakers, right? Or the Pilgrims?
Yep. He was the first baby born here in the new land.
Yes.
And I have to give that credit to my great uncle, who is now deceased, retired colonel in the Army, Frank A. Williams.
Oh yeah,
he was a great history buff. He would have loved what's the one you go online and for genealogy,
ancestry.com.
Yeah, he would have loved that. But he would go back and he'd trace everybody back to that.
Wow,
going to cemeteries.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
So there you go. And lots of prayer from the Quakers for their ancestors. So
must have been.
It worked. You are. Awesome.
Praise God.
Well, you, it's amazing, your story, and you've had a chance to share it, like you say, speaking in other places. Are you still doing that? I mean, if somebody would like to have you come and share, I mean.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I started back up with Christian Women's Club, so I've done that a little bit again. I kind of backed off just because I was not in a place where I just needed to be home more.
Sure.
I love bringing hope to people who are struggling. And you know what? There's always somebody amongst you in an event who are there because they're not really sure why, but it's because they need a little hope put into their life. And so the tagline of my book is Hope for Women Seeking Forgiveness, Healing, and a Renewed Sense of Purpose. Because when we let God get a hold of our life, He can do some pretty things that we would never imagine.
Yeah.
That's my life, you know. That's to me, it's extreme. It's an extreme change that he did in my life, obviously, to make me who I am today, that I have no regrets.
Mm.
It's hard. I told you earlier that just when I would have to do the edits for this and read through that part of my growing up, I thought I would just get teary and cry. I wanted to go help that girl.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yes. You know, when you read it and you think what that must have been like for you. I don't even know how you did it, but God.
But God, know? Believe you me.
And you didn't even know him, but he was still, he knows us. That's the thing. He knows and loves everybody. He has a will for us, and sometimes we walk a rocky path for quite a while before we really get it and understand what he has intended for us. So
that's why my verse is from Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2. And I just have to say, God heard my cry, first and foremost. He heard my cry. And I can tell you, he'll hear your cry, too, if you're out there and you are in a rough place and you don't know what to do. God is listening.
Yeah.
He bends his ear toward earth to hear the cries of his people. And he pulled me right out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay.
Miry clay, yeah, of Woodstock.
And
yeah.
set my feet upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, why so many could see and know that he is good. And that he can, I'm not quoting it exactly, I'm having a little blank, but that's what he does. And so that we can in turn turn around and bring that hope of Christ to others. So that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
What my Father wants, I'm ready to do it.
Well, your book has been out a few months only, right? I mean,
well, technically, we had some glitches. So technically, after the first of the year, it came out.
Okay.
There had been some other books that had come out and people had bought, but they needed to be, we needed to have
tweaked
some things done.
Okay.
Yep.
It's called Giving God Your Yes, and it's on Amazon. Kimberly Nyborg, N-Y-B-O-R-G. And we're going to actually give away a couple copies here on QFM. We'll be talking about that. And I want to have some copies available for sale here for you, too, at the radio station. But I just encourage you to get it. It is a fantastic book, and God is using it. There's no doubt, and it's just beginning. And I know your motivation for writing a book, yes, to get your story down, and you felt God led you to it. But if there can be blessings coming from it for, I think you told me, places like pregnancy centers and so forth.
Yes.
You'd like to give back.
I definitely want to give back.
Yeah.
And after seeing Sound of Freedom movie, I just, hard movie, but that's the kind of thing that I know. My life had just a close skim of some of that. So I know the hopelessness that you can feel when you have nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah. It's like out of control.
So I definitely want to help in some way.
So let's do it. Let's sell a bunch of these books, and you will be so blessed by reading this book, Giving God Your Yes. And boy, that was that moment with watching Pat Robertson. You said yes, and no looking back.
No looking back. I've never regretted it. And I always like to say, I've got the best, most perfect daddy in the world.
Mm.
That's what I always wanted, Phil.
Yeah.
I just needed a dad.
Yeah.
And I've got him.
Well, it is a blessing to get to know you, Kimberly, hear this story. I know your husband's he's a little bit older than you, right?
A little bit, 12 years.
And so, you know, always health issues here and there. So you guys are walking that walk as well.
We are.
Your mom did come and move near you in the last few years of her life. And
she actually lived right with us.
She did,
We told her she couldn't be in her trailer anymore, and it was very hard on her, but
Yeah, because that was right next to you, the trailer, right?
Yep, right on our property.
And she passed away what year?
2018.
But she did come to know Jesus.
Oh boy, that's another story.
Yeah.
Do I have time to share just briefly? My pastor of 18 and a half years happened to be back in the Falls, and he and his wife and somebody, it wasn't me, because that was the first question she asked when Pastor Larry walked into our house. Did Kimberly put you up to this? And he said, no. But where they were staying, they're friends of ours. And she said to Pastor Larry, she said, I know a little old lady who sure would like to see you. And he took that to heart, and he spent an hour and a half with her. And before it was done, she walked over to him and she said, I think I'm ready for you to pray for me. And my mom received Christ. And I'll tell you what. And my pastor, I asked him to write an endorsement for the book.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was kind of fun to do. But, yeah, you know, if she'd been anywhere else, I'm not going to say that God couldn't use somebody else. Of course he could.
Wow.
But he chose this scenario for such a time.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
God bless you, Kimberly.
Thank you, Phil. I really appreciate it.
We're going to pray that lots of doors open for you.
Praise God.
Where you can not only sell books, but speak and be a blessing to many others. So, very good. It's called Giving God Your Yes, and it's Kimberly Nyborg. It's available at Amazon, and I'll let you guys know if we get some available here at our studio as well. Whew, all right. This is Your Life, God's Truth, your QFM.